Please turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1, and I'm reading the last verse of that chapter. Verse 33. Proverbs 1, verse 33. Wisdom speaking, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Wisdom's invitation. That's our subject tonight. Wisdom's invite. This is the book of Proverbs. Unfortunately, many even Christians, they see only in Proverbs some nice epithets, some good sayings to sound wise. They see only some maxims. But, my dear friends, this is not what the book of Proverbs is all about. This is the book of life. It is the way of life. It is the path to life. That's really what this book, this wonderful book, is all about. But when you read through Proverbs, there are two main characters you find. Two main characters. And the first one, allow me to call it wisdom. That's the first character. Character number one, wisdom. And here, wisdom is really the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see it. Wisdom is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't invent it. It's here in chapter 1. It is also repeated for us. You can see wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 8. Then also in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to 10. So, character number 1, wisdom. Not just nice sayings or good epithets, but how to find life, real wisdom. Second, the second character, let me call it folly. Folly. And the folly has given birth to each one of us. You know, it is not insulting if you feel so. Forgive me. But we are all born as fools. We come into this world, all of us, as fools. So that is the second character we find throughout the book of Proverbs. But my dear friends, as I said, Lady Wisdom, if that's the way, because it is in feminine in the text here. But interestingly, the Hebrew word given to us here as wisdom is actually in plural. But interestingly also, not only it's in plural, while all the verbs are in singular. So this is only God can do that. To have plural, the noun as plural, the verbs in singular, but also to call wisdom with a female name. Wisdom is here personified. And it is personified and presented to us as a herald. A herald. Look at it in verse 20. We won't go through all the verses, but the first one is here. Wisdom is crying out. As a herald, with a message, pleading, and calling the fools, you and me, to find life, but also to flee from folly. That's really in verse 20 and 21. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, and so on. But my dear friends, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to turn to the verse, but in Luke chapter 11, verse 49, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself that title. He is called Wisdom. He is called Wisdom. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, we read that in Christ there are all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. So, you want wisdom? It is in Christ. And in our second reading, what did we find? That Christ was made wisdom unto us. This is the man. Christ is the man who is greater than Solomon. He said so in the Gospels. He is greater than Solomon. Solomon, as far as we know, in his time was the wisest man on earth. But Christ is greater than Solomon. And we read in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, that he spake like no man. But this is the man speaking to us. But you, I hope you notice in verse 20 and 21 that wisdom, which is personified, and we have said the person is the Lord Jesus Christ, is speaking to us publicly and privately. So nothing is hidden. The gospel is not hidden. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not hidden. It is not something that happens secretly. Why? Because we know. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years in his earthly ministry. He ministered in houses, in homes, on the roads. Oh, he encountered all sorts of people of all spectrum of life. He was with the harlots. He was with the Pharisees. He was with the scribes. He was with the Jewish leaders. He was with the rabbis. He was with the lepers. So all people have encountered with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, which religion is international or universal? Only the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, because even in his earthly ministry, he was able to encounter all sorts of people, and he did not cast any way coming to him. So we can trust him. So wisdom speaks to us publicly, but also privately. But my dear friends, may I tell you some good news here? Wisdom, we said wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to earth. You know how? Not empty-handed. If it's me, empty-handed, nothing to offer. But God coming on this earth in a human body in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came with treasures. And you know the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It is said that him being poor, being rich, he made himself poor in order to enrich us. So you want to be rich spiritually? Of course, nothing earthly. No riches, earthly riches will make you to be somebody before God. Because salvation, it's free, and it must be free, otherwise nobody will be saved. So he came with his treasures, and now, oh, that's a beautiful picture. He's unpacking them. He's opening them in order for you and me to be blessed and to be enriched. Oh, my dear friends, come to the wisdom. The wisdom of God was manifested, you know where? It was displayed at the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for every repenting sinner. That's the display. No religion offers you the cross. Calvary is really where we need to go. And there, everything is equal. All of us, we come there equally in order to receive salvation. But I must tell you a few things before really I come to the text. Because the wisdom here, don't be confused. When we speak about wisdom, we are not speaking about an idea, a concept, a philosophy. We are not speaking about a skill. We are not speaking about experience, because sometimes when you see somebody in his 60s, 70s, according to certain cultures, oh, he's a senior, certainly he's a wise man. But, you know, we are not speaking about this thing. We are not speaking about a concept. Wisdom here is not a concept. You can be young and be wise, and you can be an old man, a senior, and still be the most foolish man in the world. So that's the difference. You know, wisdom here is available to all of us. Wisdom is a person, not a concept, not an experience, not a philosophy, not the Greeks, Sophia, nothing to do with that. It is a person. But look at the text. I want, as I said, I will not go through verse by verse, but it is all here before us to help us. Are you seeking for salvation? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to have fellowship with the living God? Do you want to be sure that when life comes to an end, this earthly life comes to an end, you have a place prepared for you in heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ is? My friends, do you want to be a shallow person? Who wants to be, even humanly speaking, let's say naturally speaking, just leave religion aside for a moment. Do you want your friends to tell you, look at him, he's a shallow person, he's a light person, he will never speak about deep things? Oh no, we want to be deep people, we want to be substantial people, we don't want to remain like at the stage of an infant. The infant is just considering what he sees. Sometimes you show him a banknote, he prefers the coins because they are shining. You know, we don't want to be at that level. We want to choose the better things, the great things, the substantial things, significant things, not the vanity of this world, which anyway, no matter how you accumulate, you will leave it one day into this world, and it will fade away. It will fade away. You take nothing with you in the life to come. So that's why we plead with you, reason with you. Think about eternal things, not just the here and now. Oh, wisdom here is crying out. You see it in verse 20? Wisdom is crying out and saying, look, behold, there is something great. It is drawing your attention. Wisdom is trying to captivate your attention wherever you are and whoever you are. But let me say a few words about Mr. Fool or Madam Folly. We said Lady Wisdom, but there is here Mr. the Fool. The fool is whom? We are given the explanation in verse 20. How long, ye simple ones, the ignorant, who will ye love simplicity, the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. The fool is somebody who is ignorant about spiritual matters. The fool is the person who is looking at the Savior in disdain, in hatred, and scoffing and mocking that how could you believe in such an old book? How could you believe that somebody who died on a cursed tree 2,000 years ago will be able to save you? That's the fool, and he has been brainwashed. Really, that's the brainwashing which every one of us should avoid. You know, sometimes when you say to somebody you are a Christian, he says, how could it be? You are an intelligent man. They think in order to be Christian, you have to be what they call simple, gullible, a naive person. No, actually, my dear friends, may I say this to all of us tonight? Oh, unbelief is irrational. Unbelief is the washing of the brain. Unbelief is the leap in the dark. But to believe is simple. We will come and we'll explain it. To believe is simple because I only have to receive. That's the difference. But the fool, the simple mentioned here, is the person who hates knowledge. You see it also here in verse 22. The fool hates knowledge and he hates the fear of God. This is what is mentioned in the text. But my dear friends, you know that. The people of this world, we are not speaking about education. It's not about intellect. Oh, they have all the argument to debunk all your Christian argument, if it's the way to put it. You speak about science, you speak about geography, you speak about history, about philosophy, about sport, any subject under the sky, under heaven, they are able to demolish all your arguments. So we are not speaking about erudition here. The fool hates knowledge, but he hates spiritual knowledge. Even a child can understand spiritual knowledge. But the wisest man of this world, the secular teacher who teaches whatever university with all the PhDs in the world without the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most ignorant person in the world. I have three things. Oh, I pray that they will help you to see the vanity of life without wisdom. And wisdom, as we said, is a person, not just a concept or a philosophy. The first I want to speak to you, the calling of wisdom. Wisdom is calling. The second is the danger you are going through if you are rejecting wisdom tonight. And the third, we will look at the blessing and the promise of wisdom. So here it is, first thing to consider tonight, the calling of wisdom. Look at it in verse 20 to 23. My dear friends, do you know that the God of the Bible is a calling God? Do you know that the Bible itself is a calling book? From Genesis to Revelation, 600 times you find the word come, come in the Bible. But you know, God is a calling God. Back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, when Adam sinned against God, the first thing God did is to call him, Adam, where art thou? So God is calling us. And you go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. God is still calling us. The church is calling us. The Holy Spirit is calling us. The prophets are calling us. God is calling us. The apostles are calling us. The Bible is calling us every day. Calling us to what? And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, preaching serves to what? Especially gospel preaching. One of the reasons of gospel preaching is that we act, every preacher in a gospel service is acting as a pleading ambassador. Pleading ambassador. We beseech you, by the mercies of God, be ye reconciled with God. That's the pleading. But you see, when you consider the text before us, God is also pleading us and calling us with many, many happenings. Many happenings. Look at it in verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Verse 26. I also will laugh at you, at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So God is also speaking to us through the happenings of life. Oh, you lose a dear one. That's painful. It should make you to think about God and life. You lose your employment. God forbid. It should make you to think about God. You lose your health. You go through an accident or something bad happens to you. Instead of blaming God, as the atheist will do, you should make, oh, this is happening to me because nothing happens just by chance. The happenings should make us to think about God. So you see, wisdom is calling. And the question, will we listen? How long are we going to spurn and to reject the calling of God? Oh, that's wisdom is calling us to cry to God in repentance and faith. You know, Lady Wisdom is presenting before us, persisting, calling us, so that you and me can seek repentance and faith to the living God, because God doesn't want any one of us to perish. That's the message of the Bible. God doesn't want you to perish in ignorance. And that is why wisdom was given. Wisdom is a free gift. I cannot earn it. I don't deserve it. That's how salvation works. That's how salvation works. I cannot pay for it. You know, most religions, or all religions except the religion of the Bible, are trying to do good works. And as I often mention to you, how much good works can I do in order to please God? God requires perfection, not good works. And we haven't met yet somebody perfect, but the person who is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his perfection so that by trusting in his precious blood, you and me may be assigned, may be given the perfection of God, the righteousness of God, the forgiveness of our sins. But my dear friends, we have to think. Look at the question. Wisdom is asking, how long? How long? This is a question of compassion and love. And in verse 23, you see the answer. Here is the answer. This is beautiful. You know, God is not mechanical. God is not like some CEOs who just give orders without telling you how to do. God gives us how to do things. In verse 23, see it here. It's for you and for me. You want to find God? You want to find real wisdom? In verse 23, it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's the blessing. We have to turn. Without turning, no salvation. No repentance, no salvation. No faith, no salvation. That's plain in the Bible. Wherever you read in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul, all of them, the beginning of their ministry is always to point to the people that they need repentance. And as you know, repentance and faith are the two wings of salvation. Yeah, they are inseparable. You cannot separate them. They have to go together. My dear friends, repentance is so essential and it must be radical. What do we mean by repentance? I must hate myself. I must hate my sin. That's really when repentance starts. I must hate my pride. I must hate my self-righteousness. That's where everything starts. I must repudiate that wickedness which is in my heart. I see the horror of sin in my heart. It is in my heart there, and I tremble about it. Just to stand before the living God, knowing that I'm not forgiven. Oh, that should make you to shiver tonight. Because God is holy, and He will never close His eyes about our sins. Unless we repent, there will never be salvation in our souls. So salvation is so important. There are many voices in this world. You know that. So many voices. Temptations voices. Advertisement voices. Science voices. Atheism voices. Trials voices. The world's voices. My flesh, my whims. So many voices. There is a kind of confusion in the world. But my dear friends, there is no confusion about the gospel. You know what the gospel says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no confusion in that. Why? Because the gospel is life transforming. Life transforming. How long will you spurn wisdom? How long will you live just for this world? I must come to the second heading. The first one, as I said, wisdom is calling us. The second, the danger of rejecting the wisdom of God. The danger of rejecting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, do you know when we reject God? The text here from verse 24 to 32. We don't have time. We will spare some time just to say more. But from verse 24 up to verse 32, these are the calamities that will fall upon a person if he carries on and persists consistently rejecting the love of God and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want that to fall on you? Do you want calamities to fall on you? Even this pandemic, my dear friends, we don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You know this thing is happening to our world because we have rejected God. We have rejected God. And God is punishing us with many, many calamities, illnesses and diseases happening in this world. Why is it so difficult for you to believe? Why you believe in everything in this world? But the only important thing to believe, it becomes so hard, so hard. When a teacher explains a lesson to me, I'm eager to listen to him. When a scientist says to me, it's a big lie, but he has argument, he tells me that the earth is flat, I'm gullible, I will believe in it. No, it's not true. The Bible doesn't say that. But we believe in these things. But the God who is the only one. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? If another one comes and speaks to you a different message, you are eager to listen to him. But I speak to you. My Father has sent me. My Father is always truthful. My Father always speaks the truth. But you do not want to come. And you wouldn't come. Because our will has been so handicapped by our own sinful nature that even if it's so clear before our eyes, we need the scales to fall from our eyes in order to see these things. the calamities. God will chastise us. You know, my friends, God is calling us. God is speaking to us. God is even stretching his hand. He's beckoning us to come. But we are so hardened. Please don't live in a fool's paradise. That's what you read here in verse 31 and 32. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Look at verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Self-infliction, self-destruction is taking the way of perdition, because you have run away from the narrow gate, the narrow way which leads to life, abundant life, everlasting life. Oh, my dear friends, wake up. What is God going to do with you? And the verses here says, when you reject the grace, when you reject wisdom, when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, distress, anguish, despair, solitude, depression, God's judgment, damnation, and condemnation. These are the things that are going to fall on you. Oh Lord, be merciful into our adulterous generation, that before the end comes, that some of the young people may see through this world, and they may see the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said on the cross of Calvary, he said, their Father, forgive them. That's what we need tonight. But let me close with the third one. Look at the blessing and the promise of wisdom. And it's here in verse 33. You don't need me even to expound on it. It is so clear. And it is a condition. You see the condition given to us there. It says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. My dear friends, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled all God's requirements. He fulfilled them. And his love took him to his last drop. He left that last drop on the cross of Calvary in order to save every repentant sinner. That's you and me. Will you remain in your foolish state? Will you continue in a doomed and condemned condition while there is life, while there is enough water to drink and to quench your thirst? Look at the promise again. God said, if you trust in him, in verse 23, he will pour out his Spirit upon you. You know who is the Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? This is God himself. God himself will come and dwell in you. You become a child of God. Instead of God saying, I will not answer your prayers, instead of God saying, I will laugh at you at the day of judgment, not in a cynical way, of course. God will never do that, because he is, even in judgment, he is merciful. But instead, God will answer your prayers if you come to him and in repentance and faith. Look at the promise there in verse 23. And he says in verse 33, if you come, you shall receive safety, quietness, security. You will be anxious for nothing else, and you will be protected against the wiles of the devil. Oh, my dear friends, only those who hearken, only those who listen, only those who obey to the voice of Christ will receive these blessings. Only those who hearken to the voice of wisdom will receive abundance of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they will be able to understand the Word of God. Do you see it in verse 23? You will be able to understand the Bible. I remember the first time I read the Bible, I couldn't just understand it. This is like any other book. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can understand. Even a child, with the help of the Holy Spirit and some effort from you and me, we will be able to enter in the treasures of wisdom. Come to wisdom. You know, when you ask God tonight wisdom, what does he give you? He gives you Christ. He gives you Christ. And Christ is the greatest gift It is the greatest gain. You know what James said? James chapter 1 verse 5. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask. And I believe if anyone tonight lacks the Lord Jesus Christ, let him ask God. And God will give him the Lord Jesus Christ. Have wisdom as your Savior. Have wisdom as your friend. Have wisdom as your strength. Have wisdom as your all in all. Don't put it for tomorrow. You know, tomorrow in spiritual language is the devil's calendar. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And you will enjoy, as we said, you shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You shall not only not fear evil, but you will not fear also the fear of evil. God will protect you, and you will enter into the kingdom of God because you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to wisdom, get wisdom. Don't be complacent about it. May the Lord help you to come to him tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee. We thank thee, Lord. Our words are insufficient to express the gratitude for our salvation, to have our sins forgiven, to have our names written in the Lamb Book of Life, to have a place being prepared for us in heaven. Oh, Lord, this is beyond our understanding, but we trust that Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for every repentant sinner. Oh, Lord, we come to thee. Help those who have not yet come to come in. Let them in, please. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Give them the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We thank thee, Lord, for thou art the hearer and the answerer to the prayers of thy children. We ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our last hymn is hymn number 393. Hymn number 393. I am trusting thee.